Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Friday, February 9th, 2018. Yesterday, I talked about how the Battle Royale genre is the new genre du jour, and that everybody is jumping on that Battle Royale bandwagon. We're getting tons of games announced that use the Battle Royale formula. Everybody wants a piece of that pie. And I mentioned that it seemed to me the last genre that was like this, that everybody seemed to jump on the bandwagon with, was the Dark Souls genre, Souls-like games. So how appropriate is it that this morning we get news of a new game announced that is Battle Royale meets Souls-like? It's all the things. It's all the things. This is a game called Egress, which has just been announced, and it is described as a role-playing game with Battle Royale-style multiplayer and Souls-like combat. So, precision, animation-based, weapon-based, Souls-like PvP combat in a Battle Royale template. And it's coming to PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. This is from developer Phazon, whose only other project is a game called Bestiarium, which was an atmospheric horror game. But Egress, based on the trailer at least, looks pretty darn interesting as far as setting and tone. It's set in an alternate universe with architecture that looks like it's from the Victorian era, very Lovecraftian in its visuals and mythology. And you've got different heroes, each with unique abilities, facing off against one another. We don't know exactly how many players, if this will be the sort of de rigueur 100 player Battle Royale formula, or if it'll be fewer. It seems to me with Dark Souls style combat, it would need to be fewer people than 100, but maybe they'll pull it off. And you'll be doing your Dark Souls-style dodges and rolls, melee combat, as well as ranged abilities. It'll be coming up this year, and the trailer's got some cool 80s synth music. Egress looks kind of neat, even if it's a mashup of some existing ideas. I'll certainly be keeping my eye on it. How do you feel about in-game microtransactions? Well, it was a big, big topic of controversy at the end of 2017, and it certainly doesn't seem to be going anywhere, especially when you hear how much money it is making for some big, big companies. And that's exactly the kind of information we got this morning when Activision Blizzard released their Q4 2017 financial results, in which they reveal that the company made $4 billion, with a B, dollars, generated purely by microtransactions, in-game purchases. The company made $7.16 billion in revenue over Q4, which is, wow, not a bad quarter. But clearly, over half of that was generated by in-game purchases. So the majority of what they made through microtransactions. Now, you have to understand, of course, Activision owns King, which are the makers of Candy Crush and other mobile games, which rely heavily on microtransactions. But even when you separate out the King amount, which is about $2 billion, you still got $2 billion from PC and console in-game purchases, and that are games like Call of Duty World War II, Destiny 2, and, of course, Overwatch. Overwatch, I'm sure, the lion's share of that in-game purchases. So this is a massive, massive revenue stream for these games and these companies. These are all post-launch dollars. These are all dollars that they get from you after they've gotten your $60 buy-in fee. And I'm sure it means you're going to see companies like this doubling down on that approach. Certainly doesn't mean you're going to see more free-to-play from them. I don't think that they want to give up the other half of that $7.16 billion, which is your upfront dollars. But with that kind of money streaming in from buying stuff in-game, I think you're going to continue to see lots of games offering you things to buy. How do you feel about this? Legitimate way for companies to continue to monetize? Exploitive? Predatory? Ways to sell off things that should have come in the box with the sticker price? Additive, optional experiences that are perfectly reasonable to charge extra money for? Ways to make these extraordinarily expensive AAA games affordable and profitable for these companies? It's a complicated issue for sure, and one that is not going away. Sprint Vector is finally out. This is the newest game from Servios, the guys that made Raw Data, which I still think is one of the best shooters available on VR. Sprint Vector is also a VR-only title, and I played it all night last night. My arms are feeling it today. Sprint Vector is extraordinary. It is a blast, and I really hope it catches on as an esport, because I think this game has the quality, and it would be so much fun to watch people play it. Okay, what is Sprint Vector? It's a racing game in VR where you're running down tracks, leaping over obstacles, climbing walls, jumping through the air, and trying to finish first and finish fastest, as with any racing game. The difference here is how you propel yourself through the levels are with physical movements. So you're literally grabbing the air in front of you and pulling down to propel yourself through space. It's almost like you might have ski poles in your hand and you're pushing down and propelling yourself through space like you might if you were cross-country skiing. You're swinging your arms from side to side in very rhythmic motions, grabbing with the controller and pulling down with these touch motion controllers. So it's very active. It's very fun. It works up a sweat, which I guess would be my biggest complaint about the whole thing, is that it is a sweaty, intense experience that inside the VR goggles can get a little uncomfortable. It's not fun to sweat inside those goggles, but the game is so fun that it is absolutely worth it. As you're propelling yourself through space, you're also able to make big jumps, and then you can stick your arms out in front of you like Superman and glide for short distances. You will have to leap over obstacles and climb up walls. As you climb, you have to grab onto nodes and pull yourself up. It's wild, it's wacky, it sort of reminds me of Mario Kart in a lot of ways, not only because the game is colorful and vibrant like Mario Kart, but there are also power-ups that can help you sabotage your opponents, and the tracks themselves are full of secret passages and shortcuts and multi-levels, much like a Mario Kart level is. The entire presentation of Sprint Vector is really impressive. There are multiple characters to choose from that are all wildly different looking from each other. You have costumes and outfits that you can give them. And the conceit is that you're playing this wild, over-the-top, televised sport. The game looks great. It's got wonderful sense of style and panache. Everything is communicated so elegantly to the player, whether you've achieved top speed, how you're jumping, little vibrations in the controller let you know when you are accurately propelling yourself through space. And the game actually has a really high skill ceiling. This is a game that's easy to learn, but difficult to master. And I am so impressed with how much actual technique is required for you to accomplish and perform at the highest level in Sprint Vector. You can get through a race, you can get to the end of a track very easily, but to maximize your time, to be as efficient and quick through the race as possible, requires an amount of skill that I think leads this game down a path to becoming an esport. I really think because it's physical, and I think it would be so much fun to watch, especially in a mixed reality format where you can see the players actually in the environment of the game, that would be such a blast to watch. And you really could see how good they are at this game, what techniques really allow people to win. I played for several hours last night. I came away exhausted. I mean, this is almost a workout regimen. And I guess that would be the biggest turnoff. People that want to just sit on their couch and play video games, I like doing that too. But this is an amazing departure from that. You're doing something active and wild and fun. It is so fun getting through the levels. And that sense of speed is incredible and never provided any nausea.